Prabhupada, Shri Bhakti Vedanta Ki, Rantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Giriraj, Maharaj Ki, Jai Gopremana. What a wonderful room. Just get another chair from downstairs. And just bring me a mat. Sugar is going to get it. Sugar is good. Just go one of those mats. Okay, so tonight. Tonight we will go from verses 1 to 25 of chapter 21. Chapter 21 describes how Lord Vamanadeva, how he binds Bali Maharaj. And it's the pastime that takes place between Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva. So, we'll begin with verse 1, sorry, verse 1 of chapter 21. Okay. Shukadev Goswami continued. When Lord Brahma, who was born of a lotus flower, saw that the effulgence of his resonance, Brahmaloka, had been reduced by the glaring effulgence from the toenails of Lord Vamanadeva, he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the great sages, headed by Marichi, and by yogis like Sanandana. But in the presence of that glaring effulgence, or king, even Lord Brahma and his associates seemed insignificant. So it describes that when Vamanadeva lifted his foot upwards, it went all the way from the lower planetary systems, the middle planetary systems, and all the way up to Satyaloka or Brahmaloka. Which is the highest place in the material world. So, in the pastime of Vamanadeva, Satyaloka or Brahmaloka is much higher than all the other planets. It describes that when you see at night time, there's the Milky Way. Just like at the farm, it was very clear over the weekend. The nights were very clear. And you can see the Milky Way very clearly because the moon is dark. And then right at the very top of the Milky Way is Satyaloka or Brahmaloka. It's much higher than all the other planets. It's at the top of the lotus flower, or the navel, coming from the navel of Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So his toes, when he reached up, his toes went all the way up past Satyaloka or Brahmaloka, the highest place in the universe. And it said that when his toenails went past, there were like five moons. Yeah? And it said the effulgence coming from his lotus feet, it eclipsed the effulgence coming from Lord Brahma, from Satyaloka, from all the great personalities that were there. So the effulgence of the Lord far exceeds the effulgence even of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is also very effulgent. But compared to the Lord, everything just became completely eclipsed. So his foot was huge. It said that his foot was practically as big as, well, it's even bigger than Brahmaloka. So bigger than all the planets. When his feet finally went up across the universe, his body was as big enough to fill up the whole universe. So, as it says here, Lord Brahma was born of a lotus flower. So he is known as Swayambhu. Swayambhu means self-born. Lord Brahma does not have a father or a mother. Lord Brahma simply has the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his parent. Because he manifests directly from the navel of the Lord. He appears on top of the lotus flower. So he's not born like ordinary people. He's like self-manifesting, Swayambhu. So at the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma is manifest by the Lord himself. Now it is said that before Brahma manifests, he enters into the subtle body of the Virat Rupa. And the Lord, he gives Lord Brahma, he gives him the subtle body of the Virat Rupa. In other words, he gives him darshan of the Virat Rupa within his subtle body. So that when he appears, he knows how to construct the universe. He knows where all the planetary systems should go, where all the species of life should go, who should be born on what planet. So everything is understood by Lord Brahma. So he's given this intelligence on behalf of the Lord so that he can create the universe on behalf of the Lord. That is his seva. So when he is born, it is said that he is in darkness because he's the first one in the universe. Just like if we walk into this room, when it's dark, we cannot see what is around us. So he is the first one in the universe. And when he walks into the... when he's within the universe in the beginning, everything is dark and he does not understand what is his purpose. So he tries to find his origin. So it's said that he climbs down the lotus flower, as mentioned in Canto 2. He comes down the lotus flower, but he cannot find the bottom of the lotus flower because it goes all the way down the universe. So after some time, then he returns, gets back to the top of the lotus flower, and he feels around, he understands I'm on a lotus flower, but he doesn't know what is his purpose. So at that point in time, he then hears the sound tapa, which is the water in the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. It is slapping against the stem of the lotus flower. So he understands at that point that my purpose is to do tapasya. So he performs tapasya at that point in time. So understanding that that is his purpose, he performs tapasya and then he becomes enlightened. He receives divine initiation from Divine Saraswati. She gives him the mantra, which is known as the Gopal Gayatri Mantra, the sixth mantra in the Gayatri Mantras. So she gives him the mantra and then he goes on to meditate on that mantra. And by meditating on that mantra, he then hears the sound of Krishna's flute, which is the Kam Gayatri, which is the seventh mantra. Then he meditates on that and then he sees Goloka, and that's the description which is given of Brahma Samhita, where he actually sees Goloka Vrindavan. So it is said here that he was born of a lotus flower. But even though he's born on the lotus flower and he's so powerful, it becomes insignificant in front of Lord Vamanadeva's effulgence. So, any points?
When Lord Brahma creates, he creates and the preservatives are born from him, says they come from him. That's the progeny. How is he creating the, what is his actual role in creation? Like, does he kill trees, mountains, and all that? Pre-created by the Lord, or
Brahma is involved in that? Well, it says that he sees the Virat Rupa, or the universal form. And then it says that he has all the elements, but then it's him who has to manifest everything. Because when he's there, there's nothing there yet.
Is it like one flat something, or is it something he has to... In terms of like all the mountains, rivers, and... trees.
Yeah, I don't know if the planets are there, because there's so many planets in the system, the solar system, so I don't know if the planets are already there and then he has to develop the planets, or I haven't heard what the actual description is, but it says that he is like the Lord is like the engineer, he is like the architect. So the Lord gives him the design and then he has to go ahead and make it all happen. So I'm not sure how he actually... Yeah, I'm not sure who does it. Any other points?
Indraloka, Prabhu from Indraloka, Lord Indra controlling all the five elements like fire, air, ether, water and earth. Like whenever there's going to be rainfall or when there's going to be flood or when there's going to be the everything. So who was giving instruction to Lord Indra to do that? Brahma or Lord Shiva or Krishna?
To do which?
To Indra. So Indra, from Indraloka only everything is being controlled in this earth. From Indraloka, the demigods are in charge of everything, like fire happens, or there's going to be sunshine, or everything, Surya Deva, everybody is in Indraloka. So all the control from this universe is coming from Indraloka. So who is giving instruction to Lord Indra? Whether Brahma is giving, or Lord Shiva is giving, or Durga is giving, or Krishna is giving, or Vishnu is giving?
Yeah, well, it means that the demigods are given an intelligence how to do these things. So just like all the species of life, just like the cats are born, the cats know how to do certain things. Mm. Or the dolphin, they know how to... So when they're born, there's something within them that knows. Even ourselves, we grow up and certain things we just know how to do very easily.
Mm.
So Krishna says, Gyanam Smritya Pohanam Cha.
Mm.
So the demigods, when they're born, then they have a certain amount of intelligence.
So they itself control the universe, like Krishna's not controlling the universe.
Krishna controls through the demigods, I suppose.
Oh, but Krishna is giving instruction from the heart, maybe?
Yeah. It gives everyone intelligence. He says that in Gita. Any other points?
When you say that the water under this thing, you know, the lotus flower, there was a bit of water.
Yeah.
So when you said that, did he do tapasya there?
No, he heard the sound tapa.
From that water.
Yeah, from the water. The water, the wave was hitting the edge of the lotus flower.
Oh,
the stem.
From outside.
So say tapa. Tapa. The wave was making the sound tapa.
From outside.
From on the bottom of the lotus. He was on top.
Yes.
But he heard down the bottom, he heard the sound tapa.
Oh, right.
So then he did tapasya.
Okay. And the Milky Way, you say, it is the stem of that lotus flower.
Yeah, Prabhupada says that.
Sukumara.
Okay. Among the great personalities who come to worship the lotus feet of the Lord are those who have attained perfection in self-control and regulative principles, as well as experts in logic, history, general education, and the Vedic literature known as Kalpa, dealing with old historical incidents. Others were experts in the Vedic corollaries, like Rama Samhita, and all other knowledge of the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Artava, and also the supplementary Vedic knowledge, Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, etc. Others were those who had been freed by the reactions to fruitive activities by transcendental knowledge awakened by practice of yoga. And still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka, not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. After devotedly worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus emanating from Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord. So there's a description here of the resonance of Brahmaloka. So in the Krishna book, at the end of the 10th canto, there's one chapter called The Prayers of the Personified Vedas. So all of the Vedic literatures have personality. They personify. So these personified Vedic literatures, they live on Brahmaloka with Lord Brahma. So we have there's a personality of the Mahabharata, a personality of Ramayana, of the different Puranas, like that, all those personalities exist. So, it is described that there are the Puranic literatures and then there are the Itihasas. The Itihasas means
history.
The histories, like Mahabharata and Ramayana, like that. And then there is the Samhitas, and then there is the Upanishads, and then there is the Puranas. So all of these different personalities, they exist there. So they're the associates of Lord Brahma. So they're all offering worship to Vamana Deva. Because all of these Vedic literatures are meant to bring us to worshipping Brahman and Deva, or worshipping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, Bhagavatam is there as the personality?
Yeah, everything has personality. Yeah, all the Vedic literatures are personified. So that's why we have that chapter in Krishna book in the 10th canon book, Prayers of the Personified Vedas. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, who is known as Urukrama, the wonderful actor. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Here we understand that Ganges began when the water from the Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva. But in the 5th canto it is stated that the Ganges began when Vamanadeva's left foot pierced the covering of the universe, so that the transcendental water of the causal ocean leaked through. And elsewhere it is also stated that Lord Nityananda appeared as the water of Ganges. The water of Ganges, therefore, is the combination of three transcendental waters, and thus Ganges is able to purify the three worlds. This is the description given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti.
So, any points here?
So it means it is a combination from the spiritual world as well as the commander loop from Lord Brahma, and then the water from the feet of the Vamadev as well. So that's from Narayana.
Yeah, so there's these three sources.
I'm not clear about the water from the Narayana.
No, it says that the water, and elsewhere it is also stated that Lord Narayana appeared as the water of the Ganga.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it's saying that Ganga is actually an incarnation of Narayana himself.
Okay.
So these are the descriptions. So it mentions in the Vedas there are three sources of Ganga. So we hear Ganga is coming down from when Vamana, they've cracked the universe, the causal ocean, which is spiritual water. Then that flows through as the Ganga. Also it says that Lord Brahma poured the Kamandalu, and that over the feet of Vamanadeva, and then that became Charanamrit. And then that flowed down as the Ganga. And then also it says somewhere that Lord Narayana, he also incarnates as Ganga. So Prabhupada says we can take all three as being correct. But the point is that the Ganga is purifying. And it is mentioned that, as we said, did I say last night? That Pada Sevanam, which is one of the nine items of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vandanam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. So Pada Sevanam means worship at the lotus feet. So Prabhupada explains in the 7th canto, in the purport, that worship at the lotus feet of the Lord also includes worship of the Ganga. Because Ganga washes his lotus feet. So Pada Sevanam also means worship of Ganga. So when we go to Vrindavan and we worship, then we are also worshipping Jamuna. Or if we go to Mayapur, we worship Ganga. Then that is the same as doing Pada Sevanam, any service, when you bathe in the Ganga or the Jamuna like that. So it is considered to be one of the nine limbs of bhakti. So just by worship of Ganga Devi, just by bathing in Ganga Devi, taking the water It says even just by chanting the name Ganga, one becomes purified. So that is the power of the Ganges. So the Ganges comes through this universe to destroy the sins. And especially in the olden days, in the Vedic times, people would walk for many weeks and months even, just to take bath in the Ganga, because it's considered so auspicious. And millions of people live on, even to this day, live on the banks of the Ganga, just to take bath in the Ganga every day and get purified. So that nothing is more auspicious than taking birth next to the Ganga, or the Jamuna, you can say.
My wife was born
next to Ganga. No, I was
born there. But I was living there. In Kapit Mandai, I used to go every day with my grandma to take back. In Ganga. What about the pastime of Kapila Dev and the ancestor was burnt, and then the Bhagirath actually prayed Ganga to come.
Yeah.
How's it related? Was the Ganga, you know, only was when Lord Brahma appeared, it came up to the heaven, and then after that, was it came to earth after, because of Bhagirath's prayers? Or, do you know?
Yeah. I can't remember the details in that pastime. But I know that originally when she falls from the top of the universe, then Shiva has to go underneath. He catches first to stop the wave, and then it begins to come from his head. And then there's a whole pastime with Bhagirath, and that's down on earth. So I can't remember all the details of that. And then it says Kapila has his ashram down at the mouth of the Ganga, like where Ganga goes into the Bay of Bengal, at that place. So. But I can't remember all the details of Bhagiratha. We'd have to look it up. Any other points?
You must be in different times.
Different?
Different yugas.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Ganga comes in the very beginning. The Vamana Dev, this is like right back in early part of the universe. When Ganga comes. Right back in the beginning. Okay. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They all the deities empower this worship.
Vamanadeva first expanded in his original form. And then reuse himself with the original Vaman Rupa. Thus he acted exactly like Vaman Rupa, first showed in the universal form and later resumed his original form. He longed to resume any form. His original form is that of Krishna, Krishna Swarup Bhagavan Swayam. According to capacity, Lord wants to live. This is his cause. And Lord Ramadeva reached the original form. Lord
So what are the points in this?
So his original form was like a dwarf, small. So when he entered the Brahmaloka, did he assume the form of small or original?
No, it means it's just his feet. They went past. His feet, he was down on the Swagavala, but then his feet, they went up past the...
So 1 foot was on the earth.
Yeah, Bali Maharaj, this pastime is not on earth, this pastime is in the heavenly planets. Or maybe it's even down in the lower planetary system. I think, so. Because Bali Maharaj has conquered Indra at this point in time. So.
But the first
that
he measured was the earth.
Yeah, the first footstep went through the lower planetary system and the middle planetary system, and second went to the higher planetary system.
Pastime took place in heaven.
heavenly.
Because he just come, I mean, Balimana has just come to the Indra.
Mm.
And the whole Kashyap Muni and Lord comes there. So, I think he's in heaven. And when he didn't have any third place to put in, so he put him down to the Sutala Loka, where he gave him the whole plan to go until he becomes Indra next.
Yeah, incarnation. They worship the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, puja, and argya, sandalwood pulp and aguru pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots, and sprouts. While so doing, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord and shouted, "Jai, Jai." They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells, and beat kettle drums, in this way worshipping the Lord. So, we see many of the demigods' activities here and the articles they offer. This is how to receive someone in a civilized way in the Vedic civilization or culture. So in Vedic culture, then we worship someone like this. So when we do the deity worship, we see this is the system and these are the articles that we offer the deity. So it says here there is pushpa, the water, the paja, the argya, sandalwood pulp, aguru pulp. So these are part of ritual. So in the zone, other than the best art, that we make sure every personality comes. We offer the best. So we have sandalwood pulp, we offer all those things. Don't have all this, we offer them mental pachas. The mind, we offer this and we offer that. That's so 16 or 64 to the Lord. So then, after all the articles are offered, then we offer the bog. Then we offer the offering. So same in the deity worship, we offer all the different articles. And then after offering the articles, then we offer the bog. Which one? Argya. So what is that, sugar devil? Yeah, I think they do for the from washing the mouth. I think that's what it is. It's like the scented water when they take it. It says here, argue. Okay, well,
I'm not sure.
We are also not sure. So if you find out, let us know.
I've seen the dictionary.
Yeah, let's say if you do deity, I don't do a lot of deity worship. I worship Guru Raj. I worship Guru Raj in a more simple way. Whereas this is like elaborate deity worship. I haven't done a lot of elaborate deity worship. But in the temple, they offer they worship the Shalagram Shila here in the temple every day. They do elaborate deity worship.
Mm-hmm.
For the deity.
So when he entered, did the whole body enter the Brahmaloka or just the feet?
His feet were there.
So they were just worshipping his feet?
Yeah. Or you can worship from a distance. You can offer these things from a distance like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I send you to
Yeah, so then it says here that while they were doing, they were offering prayers and they were doing Sankirtan. So then Prabhupada said that when we are doing the deity worship, it must be accompanied by Sankirtan, by chanting. So one time, Prabhupada walked into the temple and the tape player was not playing.
Okay.
So the pujari was doing the worship. But the, like, you know, when we do the aarti, if there's no kirtan, then they put the tape on. But there was not. So then Prabhupada said to the pujari, said, then you should chant. Right? If there's no kirtan going on, then you should chant. So that should be the system. Whenever we're doing the puja, there should be kirtan accompanying. That's the system. So here it says there are musical instruments and prayers, and everything is, the conch shells are blowing and the kettle drums. So whenever the worship is done, there should be sankirtan, there should be chanting to satisfy the Lord. Any points? Okay. Jambavan, the king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony. Sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. So you see, Jambavan, he is there through many of the pastimes. This is back in Satya Yuga, he is there. Then he comes in Treta Yuga in the pastimes of Lord Ram. And then again, later on, he's in 10th canto, he's there with Lord Krishna, right, in the 10th canto, in Krishna's pastimes.
Jambavati.
Yeah, Jambavati is his daughter.
Yes.
So he gives his daughter to Krishna for marriage. So he's there in all these pastimes. He's like a very ancient personality. Many of these personalities, they live for many yugas. So he was there in Satya Yuga and then in Treta Yuga with Lord Ram, and then he fought with Lord Krishna in Dwapara Yuga as well. So he's there for a long, long, long time. When the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamanadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of the cheaters. Lord Vishnu assumed the form of a Brahmana. He has covered his own form, and thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. Our Lord Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions. Our Lord Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at present since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful toward the brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadeva. Lord Vishnu, it is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadeva. O king, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadeva. O king, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demon coming forward in violence, they smiled, taking up their weapons. They forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Nanda, Sunanda, Jai, Vijay, Prabala, Bala, Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Vishwaksena, Patat, Trirat, Garuda, Jayanta, Shrutadev, Pushpadanta and Satvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants And now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that Jai and Vijay are eternal associates of the Lord. And then they were cursed by the four Kumaras to take birth in the material world. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, then Ravan and Kumbhakarna and Shishupal Dandabhaka and then Jagai and Madai. So it is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, because it says here that when the demons attacked Lord Vamanadeva, then the Lord's associates, they expanded their forms from the spiritual world, because these are the gatekeepers in the spiritual world. They expanded their forms and they entered the material world to protect the Lord. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Jai and Vijay had their forms still in the spiritual world, but some expansions of them, they became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha and the other demons, Kumbhakarna, Ravana, and Shishupala and Devakra. So they still were in one place and still here as well. Right? Which is interesting. Right? Because even sometimes I've heard it described that ourselves, we've left Krishna. Now we're in the material world. But I've also heard it described that sometimes that it is said that we are with Krishna right now, but we've like turned away from him like that. And Krishna is there, and then we look back at him. So in all that time, just that we look away and then look back, we become envious of Krishna, we look away, and then we look back, then that time, that moment is millions of births in the material world. So sometimes it's said that we are with Krishna now, but we've expanded into another form and we're in Maya. Or the other way it's described is that we've just left Krishna. Like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopal Kumar comes back after many lifetimes in the material world, and then he comes back to Krishna, then immediately Krishna and him embrace, and Krishna says, I've not seen you for a long time. So we're not sure exactly what takes place. But
who's that?
In Brihad Bhagavatamrita it is there. When Gopal Kumar, when he goes back to Krishna.
Oh, okay.
Does that apply also for demigods who are actually when Lord telling demigods to appear in the material world as in the Braj Vani before he comes? Do they expand or do they even come or how does that?
Well, those demigods when they in the beginning of the 10th canto they all go to the ocean of milk, which is in the material world. And then the Lord, he instructs Lord Brahma in the heart. He says, tell all the demigods to take birth. So it's described that the Lord's associates come from the spiritual world. And then demigods like merge into those eternal associates. Because it's also described that like, if you read the beginning of the Krishna book, it describes that like Prishni and Sutapa, and these other personalities, when Vasudeva and Devaki come, then these other personalities who were performing brata or some austerity to have the Lord as their son, then they merge with the eternal associate. So even you hear in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, sometimes it describes one devotee is like a combination of several devotees, like Prahlad Maharaj. So somehow even it's associates, they can be like a combination. So then the eternal associate, they get to also associate with the Lord. I'm just trying to remember if it's described like that. Because sometimes it is described, I think I've heard described that sometimes it may be happening like that. That, you know, they're still in, like Indra's still in heaven, but he's also like, you know, spanning.
Yeah.
Like that. So sometimes, because even when the Yadavas were there, the Yadavas attacked Indra's planet and they took the Sudama assembly house and they took that back to Dwarka. So it's described the demigods were there and the Yadavas attacked and they took the Sudama assembly house and they gave it to Krishna and Dwarka. So it describes the demigods are still there even when Krishna is. And when Krishna takes the Parijata flower and everything, so it describes it goes up and they're still there. So maybe they expand or something. I mean, the whole thing becomes very... it's like very complicated. Because you've got... Yeah. The acharyas say that all the personalities are emerging, and so it's hard to understand who's exactly like that. So. Bali Maharaj saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu. He remembered the curse of Sukracharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. Oh, Viprachiti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight, stop immediately. For the present time is not in our favor. O Daichas, by human efforts, no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The Supreme Time Factor, which represents the Supreme Person, was previously in our favor and not in favor of the demigods. But now that same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence or diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Whatever Bandhu Prabhu, you like to read it.
Bhagavad Gita mentioned five causes of defeat or victory. Of these five, Daiva, providence, is the most powerful. Nate Deva Parambala. Bali Maharaj knew the secret of how he had formerly been victorious because providence was in his favor. Now, since that same providence was not in his favor, there was no possibility of his victory. Thus, he very intelligently forbade his associates to fight.
Okay. So, it is being said here that the Bhagavad Gita describes there are five factors in any action. So one is us, the jiva, one is the time, the place, the circumstances, but the most important element in any activity is the sanction of the Lord. Because if the Lord does not sanction, even if you desire to do something, it cannot come to pass. So nothing is possible without the Lord's sanction. So ultimately, the Bhagavatam is teaching us we have to become humble. Because nothing is in our control anyway. Whatever we try to do, then it's up to Krishna. So a devotee feels like that. He just tries his best and he has to leave the result to Krishna. There's no use in saying that, you know, anything is certain or anything is definite. Or like Rupa Goswami says, do not take vows in front of the deities. Don't go to the deity and say to the deities, I will build you a temple, or I will do this, I will do that. Because it is not our potency that does it, it is the Lord's sanction. And if the Lord does not desire it, it cannot be done. So a devotee should just be humble and accept Krishna's empowerment. Okay. So we'll stop there for tonight. Any more questions or comments? Okay. Shall we throw a party, Keith?
Yeah. Okay.